Te presentamos a Daniela. A ella nada le sorprende.
Siempre estoy lista para lo que venga.
Por eso,
este año fui a Walmart a comprar todo para combatir mis alergias antes que comience la temporada de alergias.
Claro, porque Walmart tiene
productos de alta calidad para las alergias como descongestionantes, sprays nasales, antihistamínicos y más. Y a precios muy buenos.
¿Y sabías que también tiene pickup y delivery? Daniela, ¿te sorprendiste?
¿Yo? No, ¿qué va? Claro que sabía que Walmart tiene pickup y delivery.
Bienvenido a una farmacia más simple. Bienvenido a tu Walmart.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Well, anybody who is EU-based, it's our time to moan for the early start times for the race. As you might have figured out, it is time for us to preview the Australian Grand Prix. Welcome to Grid Talk. My name is Tom Downey, and joining me today, we have Grid Talk co-host Tom Horrocks.
Hiya.
Hello. We have AHGP Wonderkids Aaron Harper.
Hello.
And finally, we have Canada's finest export since Lance Stroll, Charlie White.
Sure. That's not much of a compliment, but thanks, Tom.
You're welcome, mate. Lovely to have you on again. Just before we get into this episode, we must thank our sponsor, BetOnline. The BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Please remember to use the promo code BLEAV, that's BLEAV, for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts. Also, please be sure to follow us on our socials at GridTalkUK for all the latest news and bits and bobs to do with the show. Right, chaps, now that the housekeeping is out the way, the Australian Grand Prix is a go next week. Obviously, it's a week off this week. And Aaron, sort of like looking at a little bit of sort of hangover, if you like, from last week, but also what may well bleed into next week. The Ferrari second seat. So obviously, Ollie Bearman stepped in at short notice for Carlos Sainz, who is unwell with appendicitis. And obviously, Carlos, you know, that you're listening, if you are, big up. But you know, obviously, you know, we hope you're recovering well. Do you think we'll see Sainz back in that seat for Australia? And sort of going on from that, would you like to see Bearman in that seat again, bearing in mind what he showed us in Saudi?
I think it'd be fascinating to see what Oliver Bearman could deliver with a full Friday's worth of practice under his belt. Obviously, a second time around behind the wheel of the Ferrari. It would be really interesting because I think Ferrari will be fairly competitive in Australia. They might be a little bit closer to Red Bull. Bearman has shown in his Formula 2 career that he is no slouch over a single lap. He got three pole positions last year, which was the joint most with Victor Martins. And he's already, well, he did and didn't get one in Saudi Arabia. So he did qualify fastest, but he didn't actually get the recognition for it because of the way the Formula 2 rule system works. So it'd be fascinating to see him there. I'm not sure whether we will see Carlos Sainz in Australia. There's not been much talk about it at the time of recording. And we're recording this like 7 days before, well, the Sunday before the Australian Grand Prix. So there's still a lot of time for the situation to change. I would guess Ferrari will give him every opportunity. And I think Carlos will be in Australia because obviously the time zones you will need to fly out probably tomorrow morning, which would be Monday morning, to readjust. So it's going to be a flexible situation. Bearman's going to be in Australia anyway because he'll be down to compete in the Formula 2 series with Prema. So for him, I think he'll be, if you can get a decision either way, early doors, everyone knows what they're doing. If it's a bit lastminute.com, like it's Thursday night, I don't think that suits everybody. But I think we'll just have to play it by ear and see what Ferrari do, because they'll give Sainz every opportunity. And bear in mind, when Alex Albon had appendicitis a couple of years ago, he was back in the car in Singapore 2 weeks later. So I suppose it depends on how people recover. I wouldn't want to be going on a long-haul flight to Australia just after I've had surgery. So, yeah, I'm not sure that's the most comfortable experience, but Carlos is a tough and smooth operator, so I'm sure he'll be there. And whether he's behind the wheel or not is a different question. If he is behind the wheel, he'll give it his best shot. However, I mean, would you want a fully fit youngster who's going to be chomping at the bit to do the business, or the bloke who you've just said, see you later next year to, and is also not feeling 100% behind the wheel? It's a bit of a quandary for Ferrari.
Absolutely. No, that's a very good point. And also, you know, obviously you referenced Albon, you know, who had appendicitis at Monza last year. And, you know, obviously he gave an opportunity that was not taken very well by a certain budget version of Max Verstappen. You know, we all know who we mean on that one. Tom, this is a home race for two of the drivers on the grid. I guess you could say it's going to be already a bit of a sort of weekend of, it's certainly going to be sort of not contrasting fortune, but you would have to say that Piastri and the McLaren looking pretty settled because they're nice on contract. Obviously, you know, very young into the sport, but Danny Ric, you know, obviously driving for VCarb, you know, the Red Bull sister team, second team, he's not had the best of starts of the season. Obviously, had a bit of a domestic with Yuki Tsunoda, and then had a pretty woeful time out in Saudi Arabia. How do you see the sort of home heroes performing this weekend?
Well, I think it's great for Australia to have two people to be cheering for in the race, which I don't remember the last time that happened. It would have been way back when. I don't think it happened in Webber's career, so it would be well before that even. So I couldn't even hazard a guess as to who it was, certainly before my time. So that's great that they've got those two Australians to be cheering for. They're very passionate, very... Oh, yes, good point, Ricardo. Forgot about that. Yes, good shout. But anyway, yeah, so we'll just gloss over that slight error from my side. But yeah, so... it's going to be great for them to have two people, certainly in competitive machinery, because I think that time with Ricciardo, he was in HRT, or maybe might have been AlphaTauri, Toro Rosso, the new VCOP. So, I mean, thing is, though, Ricciardo's never really gone that well at this track, apart from the one time in 2014 when he was disqualified from the podium. His best result was probably 2018, which was a kind of a middling points performance. He's never really gone that well here. Piastri, bad qualifying last year, ended up finishing on a point, so good performance from him. I think both teams are in a position where they've had a slightly disappointing start to the season, given the expectation and the hype over the winter break. McLaren were very much talked up as, oh, I think we can challenge Red Bull, and then the RB team were all this, you know, McLaren's especially complaining about them and what kind of competitive advantage they're getting because of their special agreement with Red Bull. And so, but in comparison, really, Ricciardo's not been fighting for points and McLaren haven't been as convincing as they thought they were going to be. So I don't think we're not going to be seeing any a home win. We're not going to be seeing anything bettering Webber's 2013 second place or anything like that. It's I think a podium would be probably outside of the realms of likelihood. It's a possibility, absolutely a possibility, but I think we're probably looking at a fifth place would be the best that they can hope for this weekend. But I'm up for more. I love the Australian nation. I love the Grand Prix, and I would love for them to get a home podium.
Oh, absolutely. I'd certainly love to see Oscar Piastri on the podium. You know, we saw it a couple of times last season, and like you mentioned, I think it was actually his first points of the season last season when he scored points in Australia. My memory serves me correctly, in that McLaren that was obviously the pre-upgrade spec. So yeah, definitely had some room for improvement, you know, this time last year. But Charlie, speaking of room for improvement, we're gonna take a look at the sort of bottom. We're calling them the bottom five teams, but the teams are about to say, you know, as soon as we say the names, you'll realise there's a bit of a gulf between them. So we have Haas, Sauber, VCarb, who are sort of battling for the sort of like, you could call them the sort of upper end of the bottom half. Then got Williams in there mixing it, and then bringing up the rear like a lame horse, you've got Alpine. So, you know, which of those teams do you think will sort of go best this weekend? If we sort of bear in mind the characteristics of the circuit, especially with the removal of that chicane in the second sector, I want to say, from a couple of years ago. You know, think about, obviously, you know, Albon doing his last lap heroics with the pit stop and stuff. Which of those teams do you think will do best? And sort of give us your thoughts on all of them, if you want.
It's going to be an interesting week out for all five of the teams because the Haas has their tire issues now. Removal of, you know, the chicane may help that, may worsen it. Haas is always the enigma there. I'd like to think that out of five, they're going to be the better one. They seem to be gelling a bit better than the other four of the very best of the very worst right now. And it's just, they're a hard one to do. I don't think Alpine are going to do anything unless they put, like I was saying before the show started, unless they do something like crash into each other, but that'll be position 19 and 20, and then they'll still have time to clean the track because no one's going to be in the way. So it won't affect the race at all this year, other than maybe a little bit of a highlight stint. They're just not terribly competitive, and I don't see anything changing with that. Sauber may be able to do something. Zhou, I think it was last week, he looked good enough, but it's the pit crews that are kind of affecting them. They had two bad pit stops in the last 2 weeks, if I remember correctly. And you could have an absolutely great race, but if you bungle a pit stop, then it doesn't matter what you've done on the track. It's just going out the window when you cost yourself an extra 5 to 10 seconds. Like, that's essentially a Magnussen-level penalty right there. And at least he earned Haas points with his 10 seconds, right? So I don't think there's really much in the way of anything of going wrong. Sorry if you hear my children in the background. I don't think there's anything much in the way of going, really, a few of them. VCarb, they may be able to do something. I hope Danny Ric can do well. And VCarb could do something, but they've been, like as Tom was saying, they've been a bit of a disappointment. They haven't really amounted to what we thought they were going to be in preseason. Yeah, I'm kind of waffling on here, but there's just, I don't really see much success for any of them. I'm just trying to find some positives here other than Haas actually working as a team and hopefully their tires last a bit longer, because I'd like to see them do a bit more of improvement this time around and build on their, you know, their success last time. It was only a point, but for Haas to be always tumbling down the bottom every single time of good qualifying, then they end up Hülkenberg barely holding on to any sort of mid-teens position after qualifying third in Canada. Sorry, guys. Qualifying mid-third in Canada, that's, you know, any improvement from them is good, and I hope that they do better, because I like Hülkenberg and I like Magnussen.
Thanks for that, Charlie, and I appreciate the input from the white juniors in the background as well. You did make a good point there about Haas. You know, obviously Sauber, what are they, Stake F1 team kick Sauber, I think, I can't remember the exact name. You mentioned they had two bad pit stops in the last two races. That's a very good point. You know, Bottas probably a bit of PTSD from Monaco a couple of years back. You know, so he's very well adverse to it. But Aaron, just looking a little bit further up the grid, Mercedes, they've had a sort of steady, if not sort of superb start to 2024. You know, they've come in with this new concept again, and they seem to have certainly fixed a lot of the issues they had with the no sidepod concept. You know, they have sidepods from the off this season. We saw in testing they were looking a lot more stable. First two races, you know they were decent. They weren't setting the timing sheets alight, but you know they were doing all right. They did all right last weekend. Do you think they'll be able to sort of continue that this weekend? If we sort of bear in mind the sort of high speed nature of Albert Park, do you think we can maybe see one of them, I don't know, sneak on the podium or certainly up in the sort of upper echelon to the points, at least.
It's going to be an interesting one to watch how Mercedes pan out this weekend, because last year they were fairly competitive in Australia and, of course, could have won the race in different circumstances. They actually ran first and second in the opening laps after George Russell grabbed the lead from the front row alongside Max Verstappen. So it's been another one of those season starts for Mercedes. It looks like it's going to get better, and then they get to the first couple of races and it doesn't seem to be quite coming together. And it's made to look worse by the fact that McLaren are now a factor in the top four. Aston Martin, another sort of Mercedes customer team, are in and around them as well. It's for Mercedes fans like myself, it's a little bit of a Groundhog Day all over again. But I think there is some light at the end of this tunnel, because they seem a lot more happy with this car. Okay, Lewis was complaining about not having the high-speed balance in Jeddah, but they've had some time to look at that and assess the issues. They're still learning this car. It's a new concept. You think that I've heard talk of Red Bull being like a year ahead in development of everybody else, so put that into perspective with Mercedes, they're probably 18 months ahead in terms of their development. So it's Mercedes are just playing catch up the whole time at the moment. And that 2026 regulation change almost can't come quick enough to reset the playing field a little bit for them. Although historically, when we see a rule change, we see the grid actually spread out more than compress. So make of that what you will. But getting back to Australia this weekend, it's going to be an interesting test because it's got similar characteristics to parts of Jeddah, some similarities in terms of the low speed corners to Bahrain. So you might see Mercedes either do really well or they'll be a bit closer to maybe Aston Martin on race pace on Sunday. Yeah, I think it does come towards the setup of the car as well. If they can execute that well, then they'll be in a good position. But that said, George Russell's actually done a really good job so far this season. He is currently fourth in the championship standings with 18 points. That's 10 more than Lewis Hamilton. So Lewis is a multiple world champion. Okay, he's off to Ferrari, but he's still a class act. So there's definitely potential in...
Te presentamos a la familia Rubio. Ellos hacen todo en familia.
Rompecabezas, viajes a Walmart,
ejercicios, cocinamos,
todo.
Y cuando supieron que la farmacia de Walmart tiene vacunas para todas las edades, desde HPV hasta neumonía,
pues nos fuimos en familia a vacunarnos. Y de una vez hicimos nuestras compras.
Like, obvio, Abu.
Protege a tu familia con vacunas para todos. Haz una cita hoy con los farmacéuticos expertos de Walmart Pharmacy. Bienvenido a una farmacia más simple. Bienvenido a tu Walmart. Sujetas a disponibilidad y ley estatal aplicable. Se aplican restricciones según la edad. Pregúntale a tu farmacéutico por detalle.
A car, if they can just extract it and understand it quickly enough, they can get both drivers to that level where they want to be and maybe start looking for those podiums, like you say, Tom. But realistically, a podium is probably the very best they can hope for if they're really lucky.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that that's not rule out Mercedes, you know, because they, because we saw even when like the McLarens were chasing them with DRS in Jeddah, the Mercs were still able to keep ahead. So, you know, so I think, you know, race pace, I don't, you know, I agree with what you said, but I think they might throw up a few surprises. Tom, speaking of throwing up surprises, we're going to have a quick chat about Alpine. You know, the surprises this season with just how poor they are. You know, you've talked in the past, you know, they've said about their five-year plan. I'd love to be a fly on the wall in the Alpine boardrooms at Enstone and Inferior at the moment. The car's draggy, people are leaving, the drivers aren't happy, the engine's underpowered, they haven't got any customer teams, they're locking out the back row, and they can't even make a round formation lap before the gearbox goes on strike. So all in all, you know, they're looking pretty strong for Australia, wouldn't you say?
I think they're going to be rapid. Now, I do sometimes do a bit of research, and I was doing a little bit of looking around before this podcast, and I saw an article about how Alpine were looking to bounce back from their bad start to the season with a massive pace upgrade in Australia. And I was like, oh, okay, this is new. And then I realized it was from 2023. So it seems like different years, same problems for Alpine, except the only difference this time is, I think, please tell me if I've missed anything, but in the last sort of 12, 15 months, they've lost Alain Prost, Laurent Rossi, Otmar Szafnauer, Bob Bell, Alain Permain, Dirk De Beer, Matt Harmon, and that's without even looking at their two best drivers that they also lost. And this is all people that have either been fired or left of their own accord. And when you lose that many people, that much brain drain, they haven't really brought anyone in. What Bruno Famin has got no experience in Formula One that I'm aware of. And I'm sure there's some names on there that I've also listed that aren't, you know, some names that I haven't listed there that have gone as well. And so what they gained? Ryan Reynolds, you know, Anthony Joshua. Great. Fantastic. Are they going to run? Are we going to see Anthony Joshua as the new reserve driver? It doesn't seem to, there's no cohesion there. The thing is just, it just seems to be ripe for selling. I can't see them doing anything again this weekend. It's not been a particularly strong hunting ground for them. Obviously, it can't be worse than last year, being, you know, in a strong points position and then double DNF on the last restart. But even before that, I mean, I look back, what, 13th and 14th, retired, effectively listed in 2023, 7th place in 22, and then a 7th and 8th in 21. So that's the entire history of Alpine in its current guise. They've never got higher than a 7th place in Australia. And to be honest, I think they would rip your arm off for a 7th place right now. Q2 would do it. I want them to kind of get away because they shouldn't be in that position. So I want them to either sell up to Andretti or improve and actually, you know, give these drivers something to fight for. But at the moment, they've got nothing to fight for. It's a real shame for the drivers who are, you know, I'm not the biggest fans of either driver, but they are decent midfield drivers, and they should not be battling where they're battling. They should be fighting in the points. And I feel sorry for the drivers. I feel sorry for the people at the team that have been, you know, been flogged to death over the last 2 years of this just terrible administration and everything that's gone about the way they, you know, they've now got rid of that 100 race plan. That's gone. You know, there's 5-year plan, 100 race plan. No, all gone now. We will just show steady improvement. Well, sorry, hon, but 18th, 17th, 13th, and retired on the formation lap. That is not good enough in any stretch. So I can't see them improving massively. It can't be worse than what they've already had. And I'm sure it'll be an improvement on last year, and I'll put a positive spin on it. But let's see where they are in 5 races, because they need to improve massively.
To be fair, if they don't wipe each other out on the on a red flag restart, I'd say that's an improvement over last year. But yeah, the sun has just really started coming through that window. That's why I'm sort of shuffling around. I mean, it's just damage limitation already by this point. You know, there's only so much we can sort of like have a go at them. It's like Williams of a couple of years ago. But Charlie, teams that certainly have been on the back of the grid in the last couple of seasons, we've seen Haas on the back of the grid. You mentioned earlier that they've certainly improved the rear of the car. There's a bit less tyre wear. And, you know, you made a very good point earlier where you said, you know, they used to qualify quite well, Hülkenberg especially, then they've just dropped like a stone in the races. From what we've seen this season, I know we've only had 2 races, fairly different, but also a little bit, you know, sort of similar-ish circuits with some of the high-speed sections. Do you think we can see them maybe pick up a couple of points this weekend? I say this weekend, next weekend, or, you know, do you think they'll at least sort of be up there, or do you think we might see them start to drop back a bit in the usual Haas fashion?
I think the only real contender to chase them out, maybe Ricciardo, maybe Albon. I think they'll be ahead of everybody else throughout from 10 back. I don't think they're going to obviously be up in above 10th. If they get a 9th, I think it'll be very surprising. But if they get another lone point, or even like a 10th and a 10th and 11th, you know, I think they can walk away happy with that. The car again is, it, in my opinion, is improved from last year. They're not absolutely falling like stones. I mean, the Magnussen's race last week was, you can't really see the full spec of the car because he was driving pylon at that point. Like that was his job, was to deliberately not go as good as he could, back up the pack, and he bought Hülkenberg the time he needed. And, you know, but Hülkenberg got to 10th. He did well. He lasted on the, I think it was mediums, because he was either one of the last ones or the last one on mediums for that race where he had to come in and pit. So Haas last year would have made it to lap 5 on hards, maybe, before they would have to change because of the tire deg is so bad. But I think they are very much where Alpine has said, moderate improvement, noticeable improvement. They're not making any major steps, like strides like McLaren did last year for Silverstone, when they just came in and it's just like, oh wow, what is this car? Where did this come from? Why didn't we have this races ago? But there is noticeable improvement. There's steady advancing. And it seems, again, I just want to highlight it because, yes, Magnussen got 20 seconds of penalties and all that. And there's, you know, Albon was frustrated that he couldn't get by because he was being the pylon, etc. But at the end of the day, it's a team, it's an individual team sport. Right? You might not really see the team side of it, but in this instance, you can really see where teams can change a race when they work together properly. And could that be just from the new principle they have now that Gunther is gone? Maybe Gunther would have done the same thing, but it was just nice to see kind of the one that we kicked at a lot last year for being terrible actually go, you know what? Clever move. Well played.
Yeah. You know, Haas are a weird one. Obviously, they had their big debut in 2016 where, you know, which feels like a lifetime ago now because it was 8 seasons. And to be honest, aside from some bits in 2018, that probably was their best season, which, is mad to say, but you know, hopefully they'll put in a five-star performance. And if you like a five-star performance, please make sure to leave a five-star review on Apple Podcasts for a five-star rating on Spotify. I definitely didn't forget to do that halfway through the show. So, chaps, I just want to give you a quick chance to promo any of your sort of media outlets or your socials or whatever you want to do. So, Aaron, I mentioned you were from AHCP, or you are AHCP. I wonder what the AH in the AHCP stands for. What can you tell us?
It stands for my name, funnily enough. So, AHCP is an F1 manager laying channel. Basically, I show Ferrari. It's not that hard, after all, to win a world championship. We've done a journey with Mercedes, taking them back to the top, where we sent Lewis Hamilton into retirement as an 8-time world champion. We've now taken the reins at Haas, and we are only allowed to use drivers who have won the GP2 or F2 championships. That very narrowly, that narrows down the pool of drivers with which I can play with, although it can add to them, because drivers can win the series within the game. We're also live streaming journey with McLaren, where we're not allowed to upgrade the car until Austria, and then we're going to try and match their points total from 2023. So lots of fun, lots of live streams, lots of videos to enjoy there. If you like a bloke in his mid-30s shouting at a computer game, then this is the channel for you.
Good on you, mid-30s. You're only 31. Tom, I mentioned you're a co-host of Grid Talk, but you're also a co-host of Grid Talk's sort of sweary sister, the Monkey Seat podcast. So do you want to give us just a little bit of this and that about the Monkey Seats?
If you like no professionalism, zero prep, and just wall-to-wall banter, then that's the Monkey Seat. That's myself and Carl. We just log on. We give like a brief rundown of the race, how we saw it, get confused about a lot of stuff, and then get annoyed about a lot of stuff. And then we kind of call it a day. That's pretty much the Monkey Seat.
Fair enough. I respect the honesty. And Charlize, you're, I believe, an F1 writer, aren't you? And all sorts. So do you want to give us a little bit of stuff about yourself? Where can we find you?
I'm a part-time sports broadcaster, but we do stuff on TSN and that if you're in Canada. But there's not really much that I'm working on coming up in the next little bit. So I want to plug you, Tom, and the Formula Talk. Because of Formula Talk, I actually got into F2 and F3, because over here coverage is very scant, if non-existent. So I knew it existed, but now I actually have something to follow. So thank you for you and Sophia.
Fair enough. I wasn't expecting that. Thank you, mate. Yes, and yeah. So I, alongside doing this, I also co-host Grid Talk, which is the junior come support series show. That's like Charlie just very kindly said, that's myself and Sophia. That usually goes out on a Wednesday. So I just want to say, chaps, thank you so much for being here for previewing the Australian Grand Prix next week. And Grid Talk is available on YouTube, where most episodes are recorded live, as well as Amazon Fire, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Music, Verbal, and Pocket Cast. Just search Formula One Grid Talk for our back catalogue of shows with previews and reactions to race results. Please consider supporting the channel on Patreon so we can get mics, lights, and better recording equipment. Also, make sure you're subscribed so you're the first to know when each new episode is released. We'll be back next week to review the Australian Grand Prix. Thank you ever so much for listening to the Grid Talk podcast presented by Bet Online. And goodbye.
Te presentamos a Alex. Ella acaba de descubrir el centro de visión de Walmart.
Ahora hago mis diligencias en un solo lugar.
¿Compras? ¿Lentes?
Walmart.
¿Decoraciones?
Walmart. Y lo mejor es que aceptan la mayoría de seguros, así que ahorro tiempo y dinero.
Bienvenido a un cuidado de visión más fácil. Bienvenido a tu Walmart. Se aplican restricciones. Visita walmart.com para más detalles.